Sisters and brothers, if God is anything, God is love. Of that I have no doubt. Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of Mark Twain's characters once said, "Faith is believing in what you know ain't so." President Ronald Reagan's signature phrase when speaking of U.S.-Soviet relations was, "Trust, but verify," which ironically is a translation of a Russian proverb. Alfred Lord Tennyson said, "There lives more faith in honest doubt, believe me, than in half the creeds." And here's a saying that many have quoted about faith since the 17th century. Seeing is believing. Today's John 20 text is one of the key chapters about faith and believing in the New Testament. I do want to say, if you were coming here today hoping for a comprehensive study on faith and belief, you're going to be disappointed. It's a big subject, and we don't have that much time. So this morning we heard, or last week we heard, that Peter and John went to the tomb, found linen wrappings, but no body. And we're told that John saw and believed. What did he believe? It also says they didn't yet understand the scripture that Messiah must rise from the dead. Okay, so what did they believe? Then they went home. Mary stayed and encountered angels, and then the risen Jesus, whom she did not recognize. When Jesus spoke her name, the blinders came off. Jesus gave her a message, and she went and told the others, "I have seen the Lord." Which brings us to today's passage, which stars Thomas. Poor, maligned Thomas. Patron saint of empiricists, skeptics, and logical positivists. As though any of them would have a patron saint. It's so bad that Thomas gets his own derogatory nickname. The nickname in the Bible is Thomas the Twin, but we call him Doubting Thomas. For a long time, I've thought that Thomas gets a very bad rap. I'd like us to remember that earlier in this book, Jesus and company were out across the Jordan in the wilderness when they got news of Lazarus' severe illness. When Jesus proposed going back to Judea, where he had just been nearly stoned for blasphemy, his disciples tried to dissuade him not to go. When it was clear that he was going anyway, it's Thomas who said to his colleagues, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." You might call that pessimistic, fatalistic. I would call it realistic and courageous. He's also providing some leadership along with loyalty to Jesus. So I think I'd like to propose a new nickname for Thomas, maybe Spunky Thomas. Thomas is kind of my guy, a favorite of mine, honest, willing to express his doubts. Then we get to Sunday night, and I'm going to cheat a little bit and refer to the Gospel of Luke, who said earlier in the day, Mary and Joanna and Mary came to them telling them of visions, of the tomb being empty. And the male disciples did not believe them because, quote, their words seemed to them as nonsense. So, just to be clear, The other 10 didn't believe until they saw Jesus either. So, Thomas is out Sunday night when Jesus appears. He reassures. He commissions. He breathes the Holy Spirit. Why wasn't Thomas there? Was he afraid and leaving, betraying the other disciples? Was he out on a food run? Was he the only one with guts enough to go out and see what was going on, to see if they were really in danger, in keeping with his previous character? We don't know. And then we come to the key words. Thomas finds that all the others have seen Jesus, have experienced the risen Christ. And Thomas says, unless I can see, unless I can touch, I will not believe. Not the modern, I cannot believe, but I will not believe. Of course, 8 days later, Thomas finally gets in on the appearance. He sees Jesus and things change. And we have the original conclusion of the gospel where we are told that this was all written so that we might believe that Jesus is the Messiah and that we might have life in his name. The meaning of faith and belief has evolved greatly over time. And I'm going to take you through a quick journey. For the Hebrews, faith was a broad and elastic concept. Much of the First Testament focus is on fidelity. God is steadfast and reliable. God invites trust, confidence, unswerving loyalty. Looking at the New Testament, we find an interesting shift in terminology. During Jesus' lifetime on earth, those who walked with him were called followers, disciples, learners. But in the book of Acts, we start to see this new term, believers. In the centuries that followed, there were nasty, sometimes violent church fights over what was true faith and what was not. Creeds became important to memorize. Popes and priests determined what the scriptures meant. Much later, Anabaptists reemphasized the idea of right living and discipleship within a community, with that being what demonstrates faith. And then came the Enlightenment, the Age of Reason, the scientific revolution. Skepticism was championed over blind faith. It came to be accepted that rational thought, left brain, is the most legitimate form of thinking. And empiricism taught that knowledge and understanding of reality comes mainly, or only, through sensory experience. Only what can be apprehended through our five senses is where truth lies, trumping any other claims of authority, intuition, abstract thought, or theoretical reasoning. In the last century, quantum physics came along and provided some interesting challenges to a materialist viewpoint and fodder for theological reflection. But I'm not going to get into that, because I think for most of us, we are still, by and large, children of the Enlightenment. And so I think it's very difficult for us not to hear this John 20 passage and see Thomas' crisis as a modern one. I can't see it, so I don't believe it. Hey, seeing is believing, right? We also live in a hyper-individualistic society, and that also covers our reasoning. And so the collision of these two forces has resulted in many North Americans teaching that Christian faith is mainly a relationship between me and God, where I say the right words and believe the right things, so I go from damned to saved. And of course, those who teach this, they are the soul keepers of which words and which beliefs are correct. So I'm trying to piggyback a little bit on Carl's sermon of last week and his repulsion for the word, what the word salvation has come to mean in some circles. And I submit that the words faith and belief could use some refurbishing as well. So I'm going to propose a few things this morning, not systematically, just my take. I'd like to propose that we not think of faith in binary terms, that is, either believing or not believing. When it comes to spiritual beliefs, there's probably a range. Maybe no one is all the way at 100% and no one all the way at 0%. And not binary in terms of time either. I suspect that most of us who identify as Christian have had seasons of doubt multiple times in your lifetime, questioning this belief or that belief. I think we need to make room for that. Second, I propose that we focus on both content and quality of faith. We at AMC, some of you might not believe it, at AMC we do have content to our faith. We have a congregational covenant that was carefully crafted. It contains ideas we affirm to be right and true. But in good Anabaptist tradition, we are also concerned about quality of faith. What does it look like? How is it lived out? Do our actions match our words and commitments? I propose also that faith is the purview of both the individual and the community. We hear all kinds of words about faith in individuals, so on the point of community, I point us to another famous biblical story, that of the paralytic man who had four friends who took him to Jesus for healing. Finding the house packed with people, they went up on the roof, dug through, and lowered him down. And we are told when Jesus saw their faith, that is the faith of the four friends, he responded with forgiveness of sins and healing. I love that story. The paralytic man says nothing, does nothing. It is the faith of his friends that is key. Friendship, loyalty, hope, and yes, faith of these friends move Jesus to action. And this last one, I wonder also if faith isn't both a gift and a choice. I haven't worked that one out very well. This is more of a gut thing. In humility, I think we need to affirm that we don't know all the reasons that got us to faith. Certainly, God is in the process somewhere, right? But I hearken back to Thomas's words of choice, "I will not believe." Don't we have some say in this equation? Can we not in some way choose to believe? And if the word faith is too bothersome for you, I suggest leaning on its close cousins, trust and hope. Throw in some honesty and humility, and I think we've got a pretty good combination there. However we think about and practice faith, let's make sure that it meets the test of gospel, that is, good news, affirming with John's author that faith's purpose is, above all, to be life-giving. In the last years of my pastorate in Des Moines, I found myself struggling more and more with theological questions, the church's stance on LGBTQ, and yes, just doubts. That's a hard thing when you're a pastor. I tried to put it all on hold the best I could until I left. When we came to Goshen, I wanted a congregation where it was safe, not only to wrestle with these things, but also to voice them and to receive support. I found that here at Assembly. That's a tradition I hope we can continue, making this a community that is welcome for people of many different beliefs, of any season of doubt, and welcome our own who wonder, what about this whole new facility thing? Was this the right choice? Were we being selfish? Is this really us? I'm thinking that some of you who lived through this when you moved in here for the first time wondered, is this really us? Well, we get a chance to do that again. Is that sanctuary too big? Is it too small? How are we going to use our space now that Walnut Hill is gone? Upon its completion, some will rejoice and some may doubt, but we can still walk together. So may God, who is faithful, bless us. Joyful in trust, honest in doubts, humble in hope, courageous in questioning. And may our faith, together and individually, give us new life. Amen.